You're a popular one, Mr. Grinch. You won this week's box office. Amy and I will talk about that and more after this.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's box office breakdown.
Wow. Wow. That intro, though. Seriously, wow. That was amazing.
Look at that. The only time she's ever been impressed by anything I've done. Welcome, everybody, to Box Office Breakdown. This, of course, is a show where we like to look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Prognosticate.
There you go.
Wow. So
it really landed that last note there. But the box office that lie ahead, I'm Frank Moran.
I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Carrie Lane is always the third part, a little under the weather. Yeah. So send her your well wishes for a speedy recovery there on all her social media handles. And making us look good and sound even better is Anthony in the booth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a good one.
Your enthusiasm is rubbing off on all of us. Oof, Anthony.
Just yes. A wave.
Thank you so much. And last but not least, folks, certainly not least, ladies and gentlemen, a member of the Box Office Breakdown family, once and always, forevermore, back with us all the way from the East Coast in Pennsylvania, your boy, Neil Plumley. There he is.
Fellas?
Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, Neil's going to be with us, breaking it all down this week. So, my goodness, how fantastic. And look at his handsome mug right there.
Look at me.
Look at that. East Coast is treating him well.
Yeah. Can he see us?
He
are
can.
You, like, can you see us right now, Neil?
Well, no, I can see you on a delay.
Oh.
So, you know.
Interesting. Okay.
So do something.
I'm going mostly just off of sound.
There you go.
But it's okay, because I'm part bat, so I have really good ears.
Oh, see, I always thought you were a bat.
Do a gesture for Neil now, and then when he laughs in a few seconds, then it'll be great.
Done.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and while you're there, give it a thumbs up, or two, or three, four, however many you can get. Look at it. Look at all these thumbs flying around. And if you're watching after we stream live, Amy, what can they do?
You guys can comment down below. I'm rolling away.
Don't be no. You wait and comment after we're done. Don't roll away and start commenting now.
Sorry. Yeah. No. Stay right where you are.
That's right.
Share. And you guys, stay right where you are.
No. So, yes, we're going to be breaking down all the latest and greatest here at the box office. And we'll start with the movie I was talking about there in the intro of the show. Amy Cassandra loves so much. The Grinch. The 2018 animated version from Illumination Entertainment. Did extremely well at the box office.
Whoa, look at that.
$66 million.
There you 66! Go.
Yes.
An unbelievable amount of money for the Grinch.
Neil, we talked a little bit about it last week, but for you, since you weren't here last week, were you interested?
Oh, I saw it. I went and watched it.
You did. So you're the one of only of us. So what did you think? Did you like this interpretation?
Oh, no. Sorry. I mean, I watched last week's box office breakdown. I did not see the Grinch.
You did you like last week's show? Just tell us that then.
Oh, right. Well, I loved it.
Okay, great.
It's almost just as good as it would be if I were there.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, now talking about the Grinch specifically, though, are you interested in this interpretation? I mean, certainly the box office says that many people were. Are you one of those, Neil?
I'm not really one of those people right now, Frank. I can't really bring myself to find the time to go out and see it.
Because
it's not really gripping me, not really holding my attention enough. It looks okay. I'll probably see it when it hits like VOD or something like that.
Oh, is it partly because it's so early in the year in a way?
Yeah, I think that's partly what it is, Amy. Yeah, because I remember you guys were talking about it last week, and it is really early. And I think Frank was right. I think it's trying to get into the box office before all the heavy hitters come in later on. But... so it's sort of just like a bad circumstance for the Grinch. But, I mean, it doesn't look like it's affected it negatively at all. I had a great weekend. But for me personally, it's not really fitting the mood.
Yeah.
Well, then we know that that of course Amy did not want to see this movie at all. Has no interest whatsoever.
Nope.
And this film, of course, was the subject of our box office bet.
Oh, look at that!
And as much as she didn't want to, that didn't stop Amy from swinging for the fences in her box office bet.
You know it.
Look at you go!
I know.
You went what 55?
55.
Love that, and yep. That is our winner for the box office bet.
You know this feeling. Thank you, Neil.
I'm so surprised.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Neil. Okay, Anthony. I was actually really surprised. I was really hopeful. I think Bohemian Rhapsody making 50 was just kind of an indicator for me, which is weird because obviously they're nothing alike. But it just made me think, what if? And hey, you guys went to the movies, so that's awesome. And it's really great to not have to see it. Ever. But I might eventually, just definitely not now.
No.
And it's funny because you were like, oh wow, Amy, going big, that's great. And I felt like, dang it, you blew it. So it's really nice to know that it made so much money.
Now you can have the courage of your box office bet predictions.
Yeah, I know, right? Trust your instincts.
There you go. Look at that. Yes. Yeah, so the loser for that is, I know I was in the middle of the pack. It's either Carrie or Anthony. Oh, you know what? Because I wrote these down.
You know, I watched it earlier today, tonight.
I picked up since your boy Neil Plumley is not here to be the official box office bet breakdown chroniclist. Oh. Yes.
Chroniclist.
That's right. He's chronicling these incredible things. The box office bets. Look at that. So, yes, for this, Amy.
Yes.
Riding tall at 55, then myself at 35, Carrie at 32, and going to see this film will be our pal Anthony in the booth.
Son of a Grinch.
Nicely done.
I cannot believe.
So we look forward with eager anticipation to Anthony's in-depth analysis of the Grinch.
It's going to be so depth.
I like it. I like it.
So
I like
much
it.
Depth to it.
Coming in number two was a Bohemian Rhapsody, offered second week from Fox, made another $30.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Neil, have you seen it?
I have not seen it. I sort of had soft plans to maybe see it tonight, but those fell through because I wanted to be here with you guys.
Aww.
Look at that. Well, we're so happy
that
those fell through.
What's the real truth?
No, that's the real truth.
I believe, Neil.
Yeah, I went and ate at Cracker Barrel, and then I came here.
Oh,
well, look at that. What a night for Neil. I went and saw it yesterday, and it's like I didn't hate the film, but I also just watched it and said, this is so superficial. It's so surface level.
Yes.
And it just that there are moments. There is one part there where Freddie's getting ready. He's like, hey, I'm going to go off and record my own album. And he goes, guys, you must be tired of everybody fighting each other about what's going to be the single, who gets credit for all these albums. We never saw them do any of that ever in the course of the film, so I had no reason to feel that they were tired. I rather would have seen those fights between the band because it's so heavily skewed towards Freddie Mercury. We know so little. And certainly, if you're thinking about Queen, you're thinking about Freddie Mercury. But the whole reason that they gave the rights was because they wanted to focus on all of Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And you get nothing of the rest of the band.
Yeah, well, according to the rest of the band, they actually said that, no, that's not how it happened. Like, it wasn't as dramatic as they made it sound like in the film. So that's why they probably didn't show those moments, because that didn't happen.
Great.
Sorry. But what about the rest of it?
It, the performances are fine. It's just, there are moments where I was really interested in, like, especially his relationship with Mary. I feel like really could have done with a lot of exploration and is just kind of touched on and just ever so briefly.
Yeah, like some people were saying that Mary was kind of like Jenny in Forrest Gump, where you see her at the beginning and then she's kind of there and then she goes away and then she comes back and then it's just like different haircuts also.
Yep.
It's just kind of the same where you need a little more meat to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I like the idea of the whole, they spend the last part of the film is a really just, basically you're watching the Live Aid performance in total. And I don't know if I like that.
It's a huge chunk of the movie that's just like, boop, that's it.
Yeah. There's no context. I mean, other than looking at the band's face while they're playing, especially like Brian, where he's like, whoa, like he keeps having these looks like, this is great. This is really happening.
Yeah.
But there's no, and then it just goes to credits and you're like,
yes.
there's nothing.
The pacing was just not there. But I'm hopeful that, you know, what's it called? The Elton John movie that's coming out. I'm hoping that one will have a little bit more of a structured plot and really go into it, because this one didn't. It's a good time, for sure.
Yeah, you know, but I also, what I didn't like, though, was that every time they get into that formula where the band's going to be kind of grumpy in the scene. Oh, wait, somebody has this really sweet chord that they're going to play? And like, and then all of a sudden, boom, it turns into an awesome song. I'm like, oh. And they do that again and again, and like, oh, all right, great. Got it. Let's move on.
Question for you. Yes. How did you see it? Was it?
With my eyes.
With your eyes?
I did. I tried it new and thought I'd see a movie with my eyes.
Well, I was curious about that. Was it, what is it, IMAX?
I did not. I just saw it in the regular theater.
Regular theater? Yeah. How were the seats?
Very nice. I was kind of like in the first, I was in, if you go to an AMC theater, they...
Not sponsored.
So I had it in the prime seating, so I was a little bit closer to the screen. So I felt like I was being enveloped.
All right. Yeah. Did you have a recliner?
I did. And that baby was all the way reclined back. Okay. Yeah. Just like snuggled in.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that really helps with, you know, enjoying a movie, especially if it's like one of those where you feel like you're at a rock concert or something. You're like, all right, cool. I've never, you know, experienced a rock concert like this. I'm so freaking comfortable.
More importantly, Neil, has our glowing praise for this film made you really regret that you canceled on those plans?
No, it's quite the opposite, actually, Frank. Oh. I feel really good about not seeing it tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Coming in at number three, though, is a film that a lot of us saw, is Overlord, the J.J. Abrams-produced film from Paramount, made $10.1 million.
Yeah.
I know myself, Amy, and Anthony have seen it. And Neil, I know you mentioned a couple films that you've seen, but did you see Overlord?
Or there, Natalie?
I did not get a chance to see Overlord.
I did not see Overlord either.
Oh, you didn't see Overlord either? Well, no. All right, well, way to drop the ball, Anthony. Carrie had seen it. Carrie saw it,
yeah. We can tell you guys if it's worth a watch or not.
Amy, let's start with you. Is it worth a watch?
I say it is. Do you want me to go in depth?
Right, I would love that.
All right. So I was pleasantly surprised. It is loud. It is really loud. It's really like flashy in a good way where you're like, oh my God, I didn't know I was going to see something really bright and flashy right now. So it keeps you awake. It's very intense. I think, you know, the trailers show, I think, a little too much. But even then, you'll still enjoy it because there's so much, you know, plot that you're gonna obviously understand once you watch the movie. But yeah, it was really surprising. Really scary. I think there's so much tension in the movie, obviously because it's like a war movie, but there's also some other parts to it that you're like, what in the world is going on? So yeah, it was really cool. Surprisingly good. I got really good seats too, which also helped. I don't think it was IMAX, but it just felt, like I said, it was very loud. And it was just like, whoa. Yeah. Hmm. I honestly thought it was not going to be that great. The trailers, the music was fantastic and it looked really cool. And, you know, J.J. Abrams and Fitz from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, I was a little bit worried. And I'm glad that I was pleasantly surprised.
I felt like the trailer sold me a film that was going to be much more horror-based than what I got.
Yes.
So I felt, I walked out of it, and it was a fine watch. I was like, okay,
fine. What? It was fine. Were you scared at all?
No.
What?
I wasn't. No. Okay. It was.
Frank doesn't get scared.
No, I don't. I don't feel those emotions.
The only thing that scares him is Boo 2.
No, that's true. Please stop. No. Oh. I felt like it. Yeah, I wanted to be bombarded or kind of like really kind of like really enjoy the horror aspects of it. Mm-hmm. I was hoping it was going to be not that there are problems with that movie, but I felt like I was trying to equate it more to From Dusk Till Dawn, where it starts off as one type of movie and then does a twist and told and becomes something else, and you're like, whoa, all right, this is crazy.
Yeah,
and I never quite got that far, that really twist to really kick in.
Yeah, I do want to jump in and say we are in the chat, so you guys are welcome to chime in if you did see Overlord. But yeah, I thought it was going to be a little bit more sci-fi than it was.
Yes, yeah, it's like the time period, like the World War II, it's cool. And I've always loved stories about what the Nazis doing, like weird genetic, scientific, mystical experiments and things like that. So like, oh, this is going to be a really cool kind of crazy twist on this. And it just didn't go as far as I had hoped it would.
I have to say, though, that with the characters that we focused on, I was worried that there were just going to be too many that you were going to forget who's who. You know, because that can sometimes happen, especially with war movies, if you're like, wow, it's all these people and I don't remember their names. I think the ones that they did focus on, I think they did a good job. There were certain things where I was like, why would you do that to him? We'll talk about it after. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was pretty good. I am surprised that it only made 10 million slightly, just because, I don't know, I thought it would be a little bit more. Just,
I don't know, because we talked about this last week too, is where I felt like I saw the trailer a long time ago and I was like, ooh, I'm intrigued. And then I had totally forgotten about it for the longest time, that when I did see the trailer again more recently, I was like, oh, that hasn't come out already. Oh, mm-hmm. I guess I'll go check it out. So I felt like the marketing wasn't really there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the last month and a half, I've pretty much, yeah, I've known it was going to be out soon just because of the trailers. But it depends also on how much you go to the movies.
True. How often. Neil, have you felt like were you pretty much up to speed on what Overlord was? Or do you feel like, I really don't know too much about this movie?
No, I saw a couple trailers. I forget what I saw it from, what movie I was in when I saw it in the theater. But I think, I mean, yeah, it did like 10.1, and that's not so bad. I think it had, what, like a $37 million budget?
Yeah, it had a low budget.
Yeah.
So it's already pretty low. So we're probably about halfway there with, like, slim pickings internationally and with whatever it made there. Probably halfway to making, like, a non-negative return, which is good. But, yeah, it didn't look like it was, like, pushed out too crazy. Like, I didn't see it a whole lot of places. I didn't see it a lot on, like, social media and a lot of other places. Now, I'm not in LA anymore, so I don't get a lot of those cinematic ads for, like, or movie ads on, like bus stops, sides of buses, stuff like that. So that's not really a factor out here where I am. But, yeah, at least for, like, TV ads and stuff like that, I wasn't seeing a whole lot. I was seeing, like, an adequate amount, I would say. And, you know, they probably did that because just to keep the marketing budget down. Because they figured that if they put more into it, they might not get a big enough return to cover it.
True.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's going to do okay, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and Wyatt Russell's in there, son of Kurt Russell. And there are moments in that film where it kind of reminded me of the look of, I felt like I was seeing Kurt Russell back in The Thing.
Oh.
Yeah, so not because he doesn't have the facial hair, but just the kind of look with the eyes and stuff. I was like, oh, man, all right. So I didn't mind Wyatt Russell in this film.
We have Great DT in the chat saying, loved Overlord. It's more war action movie than horror movie. Liked it's grounded, like that it's grounded in reality versus the over the top like Inglourious Basterds.
True. Yeah, it's I just felt like the trailers were trying to sell you a film that was way out creepier than what you got. And I was happy. I mean, it was a fine film. I didn't come out and go like, oh, this is drove me crazy. But yeah, it just didn't quite give me what I thought I was going to get from the trailer.
It's like one of those things that you see on social media or like, well, yeah, maybe even on Twitter, where people recut a trailer to make it look like something else.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they did. Yeah, they're great. Maybe that's what happened. But if you're interested at all, I would say go see it. I don't think you'll be super disappointed.
No, I mean, I don't think you'd regret your time.
Yeah.
For sure.
And Fitz is great.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. On a quick topic of recut trailers, real quick, my favorite one is Titanic 2 The Service. If you look that up, it's phenomenal. It's about Jack, who survives in a block of ice, and they defrost him, and then he runs around New York City.
That's great.
It's called Titanic 2 The Service.
Ooh, look at that.
Just watch it. It's hilarious.
That's fantastic. Coming to number four, The Nutcracker in the Four Realms from Disney, $9.5 million. And then rounding out our top five was our other entry in the new films this weekend. And that was The Girl in the Spider's Web, A New Dragon Tattoo Story from Sony, did a little over $8 million. Definitely an underperformed,
yeah.
I think from what Sony was hoping to get out of that.
Yeah. Same for me, too, because I've seen so many promotions for it.
Yeah.
And it's freaking Claire Foy. People love her. Yeah, that really shocked me, especially because I think even Overlord was in less theaters than the Spider.
It was.
The Spider one. So that really shocked me. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Switch.
Just about 100 less theaters.
Right? We thought it was going to be Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know people just did not care, whether that's because it's been a while since those books were more in the popular zeitgeist and people were more excited about them. I don't know. I don't know why people just weren't gravitating towards this film.
Maybe all the parents were taking their kids to see The Grinch.
That's why. This week's for the kids. Next week it's for us and Claire Foy.
Oh my gosh. But no, next week is great. I'm really excited about what's coming out next week.
Oh, well, I guess we're going to get to that.
Yeah, we will.
But speaking of other films that people have seen, Neil, your boy, Neil Plumley. Two films that you've seen, Neil. What were those?
I have. I went and saw 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, I saw The Hate U Give. Mm-hmm. And it is fantastic. It's really hard to watch at times. It's all about it's basically about like a ground zero account of police brutality and racial injustice in America, where this girl character, the main character, she has an event like that that hits really close to home, and then she has to deal with it, and she has to deal with it while going to like a majority white population like prep school, but living in the hood. And so her world gets sort of torn apart, and the acting is brilliant. Just the whole movie, it doesn't really let you look away from how tough of a subject that is. And I think it was really well done. And it's based on a book that I have, but have not read yet. But maybe I'll read very soon.
No, you won't read it. Let's be honest. This was enough. It's like, I've read this book now. That's great. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I watched the movie, so I can just return the book.
Mm-hmm. And Riverdale fave KJ Apa is in that film.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, American accent or Australian?
American.
Got it.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't even know he was in it.
He is.
Is he in the trailer?
I don't know. I've never seen the trailer.
Oh.
It's a Greg Berlanti joint.
He's I forget the name of the character that he plays.
Archie.
No.
I know. Just kidding. He only plays Archie in every film that he's in.
Yeah. Like
a part of it. He's like, bill me as Archie.
Yes, that's it.
Call me something else in the movie, but bill me as Archie.
And then you saw another movie, too?
I did. I went on Thursday and saw mid-90s.
Mm.
The Jonah Hill
directed by Jonah Hill.
How was that? I'm very curious to check that out.
Oh, Anthony, hey, you're still here. Cool.
It is really good. I saw a couple advertisements, which really got me hooked on wanting to see it, where a couple of the critics said that Jonah Hill has struck gold with this film of his, and I think that they couldn't be closer to the truth on that one.
Because now Amy,
starting about it,
I will ask Neil. You got to do a hardcore press on Amy because she has zero interest.
See this film. It's maybe like 15% interest out of 100.
Okay,
I don't know. I don't think Amy should see it.
Why?
I don't think you should.
Reverse psychology. I don't think you'd like it.
Ooh, why? Tell Neil Plumley.
Well, I know that when I was going, I was invited by my friend and I was showing my wife Alexis the trailer for the movie, and because she had never seen the trailer before. And there's a few scenes, because it's all about this young kid. He's maybe 9 in the movie, I want to say. And over the course of the summer, he creates friends with these like skater punks that are like in middle school and high school in L.A. And he starts getting up to no good, but he does it because, like, he needs to get away from his home because that's where his older brother is, and his older brother beats the shit out of him. Mm. So there's scenes that just, like, happen where, like, they're just, like, a shot of a hallway at home, and then he just goes flying face first into a wall, and then his brother, like, throws him on the ground and just starts wailing on him, and then it just smash cuts to, like, later that day, and he has, like, an ice pack over his eye. And I'm just like, damn, that's hard to watch. And it's just, it's kind of like he, Jonah Hill, in those edits where he really quickly and rapidly just shows this like young kid getting beat up by like his almost out of high school brother, like crazy beat up, like over top of him, just like wailing. He smashes into those cuts and he smashes out of them, so it feels almost like you just got hit by a truck. And it's really, really, he has a really interesting storytelling choice there that reflects through the rest of the movie. The movie itself is mostly about this kid and how he makes friends, and then how the friends, how like that friend group that he sort of shifted into like ebbs and flows with how he is like learning how to like be a defiant child, basically, in the 90s. It's just a really interesting movie. It doesn't really have a larger... Well, I guess the larger point of the story would be to just, like, try to understand where other people are coming from. Would be the larger point. Have, like, empathy for people when you don't know what they might be struggling with. Because everyone in the story has something else that they're struggling with. And it really comes out, like, in the climax. Everyone has their own problems, and they make you aware of it. But it's really good. It was a little jarring because I didn't realize that the trailers are in an aspect, a 4:3 aspect ratio, like one of the, like old tube televisions. And the whole movie is like
that.
Yeah,
it's shot like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's really cool how they use that to their benefit. Like I said, okay, for like the hallway scene, they just have a lock shot in the hallway. It's symmetrical, but it's a square hallway, and it can be symmetrical because it's a square frame. So it's really interesting how cinematography, how they use the aspect ratio as like a choice, not as like something that they put in post-production later. They shot it like that to like make things feel more claustrophobic, I guess, and make things feel like this kid doesn't have any other way out than hanging out with like these like punk ass friends. But it's really cool. It's just a good movie.
Wow. Look how excited Amy is. You won her over, Neil. She's already been typing in her phone about, like, I got to get myself a reservation.
No, seriously, freaking reverse psychology. No, I think you were just saying your opinions, and I totally agree, and that's cool, and now I want to watch it.
Oh, well, so, look at that.
I don't think you should.
I might now.
So internationally, folks, real quick, the one thing that we want to talk about that I think that was a big news was Venom opened up in China this weekend, and that song was terrible at the end of that movie.
I freaking love that song. I don't care what anyone says. Venom. That is not what it sounded like, but all right.
Come on now, it sounds just like that.
No.
But basically, that opened up number one spot at the worldwide and international box office this weekend. It got $111 million there. It's the second best opening there ever for a superhero title, just behind Avengers: Infinity War, and the fifth best for an imported film, and Sony's biggest China launch of all time. This means get ready for more Venom, guys. Get ready for more Venom. This is going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
For sure.
Did you see Venom, Neil?
But here's the thing. Have you ever heard of a movie? I mean, of course we've heard of movies that have made their budget back opening weekend.
Yes.
Of course. Like big blockbusters have done that for sure. And movies have done that with like global numbers too. And that's a little bit easier to do. But has a movie ever made, I'm sure it has, but I can't think of one, its full budget back opening weekend from one country, not America?
Yeah, I know.
I've never heard of that happening before. And yeah, of course they're going to do more Venom now.
But I still believe that this property is an outlier. Amongst all of Spider-Man's rogues, you're not going to get this kind of return on Morbius. Morbius is not going to give it to you.
Yeah, probably not. No. I feel like they should pivot to other weird Spider-Man villains and not just make it Venom. Maybe see that the success is that they want weird villain stories, not just Venom stories.
Let's hope. Oof.
But that's not what they're going to do. They're going to make more Venom movies, and then they're going to make weird villain movies.
Get ready for Woody Harrelson in that ridiculous wig with doing some Carnage stuff. Oh, boy. Oh, baby. So, folks, we've got another box office bet. Amy is basking in her, you know, her prognosticator victory this week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the options are open for another buddy, somebody else to take the crown.
Well, we'll see.
And with Neil here, we'll throw him in the mix as well, too.
Hey, I could do that. Sure.
That's right. Yes. So three films for your consideration there in the chat. You can vote on that to decide which of these three films we will do our box office bet about. The first one, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. from Warner Brothers on 4,000 plus screens. Instant Family, Mark Wahlberg. Rose Byrne. That's right. From Paramount, 3,000 screens. Mm-hmm. And then Widows, there with Viola Davis and others. Michelle Rodriguez as well.
Yeah.
From Fox, also on 3,000 screens, too. Done by Steve McQueen. Mm-hmm. Yes, so those are the three films that you can start betting away there, or voting for, excuse me, in the chat. And whoever gets the most votes, we'll do the box office bet at the end of the show. But in the meantime, we're going to do a little box office rewind.
That's
good stuff.
It's really good.
about one of the actors that's going to be in one of these upcoming films. And we thought, well, you know, let's look at your boy, Eddie Redmayne.
Mm-hmm. Your boy.
Your boy, Eddie Redmayne. Coming in number five for him is Early Man from Lionsgate back in 2018. So they're actually back, way back in 2018. That was actually in February it came out. $3.1 million for that one.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go. I believe that was the voice.
Yeah.
Yes, the animated film there. Number four, The Other Bolin Girl, which we talked about last week as well.
Did.
Yes. Back in 2008, $8.2 million. And these are basically Eddie Redmayne's top box office opening weekend grosses. Not the total box office of a film, but just the opening weekend.
Yeah, because there's one that I was surprised wasn't on there, but we'll talk about it later.
All right. Mm-hmm. Number three, Jupiter Ascending from 2015, $18.3 million.
Ugh.
He speaks in such a... His voice choice in that film just is... I speak in a slow whisper.
We're going to take the planet's energy. and then just screaming at the top of his lungs. It's those two very different levels that he brings to the table in that movie.
I love the Wachowski... But I feel like after Speed Racer... But they produced Cloud Atlas. And I did enjoy Cloud Atlas. But... in terms of them just directing a film, I felt like I haven't really enjoyed anything that they've really done since Speed Racer.
Well, what about, it's not a movie, but Sense8 is very good on Netflix.
True, but not a film, Neil. Not a film. Coming to number two, Les Mis.
Hey.
From Universal back in 2012. That did $27.7 million. I was bummed. I love that musical, but I also felt like I was watching a really small scale musical on the screen. It never quite opened up as wide as I had hoped it would.
Yeah, I think it's always difficult when you have a musical that people have seen on the Broadway stage and then moving it to a movie, because I think it's just, I don't know, it's something different, but it's so depressing.
I was so jazzed to see this movie. I cry like a little baby every time I see this musical. Just tears just flowing down my face.
Are you making fun of me?
Why am I making fun of you?
I can't tell.
What's going on?
Sad musical.
Yeah,
everyone cries.
No, I know, but okay. I don't know. Just the way you said it, I was like, maybe you didn't cry, which is okay.
No, oh, holy
you
cow!
Did?
Yes.
Okay.
Every time I see that,
it's a lot.
And I was waiting for that in the film to get that like same punch, and I was like,
you didn't get it.
It was okay. Coming to number one, though, of course, no surprise: Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That 2016, $74.4 million.
Yeah, that was fun.
The story is like meh, but the art direction and that is fantastic. Just the time period that it's located at, I really enjoy that about the film.
The world and the setting, and also seeing wizards like be in everyday life and wizarding it up, you know, at a moment's notice. It's so rad. Like, I'd rather see movies like that than like whatever Harry Potter gave me. This next one looks interesting. I thought the acting was really weird in the first one. Like, I didn't know how he was playing that character, like really aloof, but I didn't really buy into it. But overall, it was a fun movie.
The thing what I didn't like, because I like Colin Farrell, and when they do the like, hey, it was really me all along, to get him to Johnny Depp, that was so disappointing. I rather would have had it just been Colin Farrell the whole time.
I
agreed. I remember you said that you made this point before, Frank, and I agreed with you then, but I watched some recent trailers for Fantastic Beasts 2, and I gotta say, Johnny Depp has that freaking crazy look, especially in that scene where like he's taken over that flying carriage in the beginning of that trailer, and he like fills it up with water and does all that crazy stuff, and like his hair is all in front of his face, and he looks all crazy, and I'm like, that's why he was cast as Grindelwald and not what's his name,
Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you'll see in Widows. He's in that film. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like, I think Johnny Depp also just has such baggage around him that many people that are Potter fans are also really wrestling with, do I go and see this film because it's got this guy in it?
Yeah.
No, I agree with that, too. It's kind of hard to not conflate the character and the actor with the works that they are performing. And that's something that I wrestle with in this with Fantastic Beasts 2, because I don't know if he's the right choice, but I think that he's as an actor, I think he's the right choice, but I don't know like as a person if he's the right choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'll be curious.
I am excited to see him play like a villain antagonist, because I don't think he's ever played that before, at least not that I can remember.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see Jude Law as that little hot pants Dumbledore. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to do our box office bet. Keep chiming away there in the chat. But real quick, we'll do our what we think of our top five for next week. Of course, adding in Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald at 4,000 plus screens, Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne at 3,000, and Widows. Do we see any other world where Fantastic Beasts 2 doesn't take top spot?
No, it's in the top.
No,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for as much issues that people might be having, I still think it's going to be enough to get as number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the big thing is, where do you see Instant Family and Widows falling in to this top five?
Ugh.
You know, well, a lot of people in the chat are really liking or are excited to see Widows. Every single time I see it, I want to say Windows.
Me too.
Okay, time. Good. Glad I'm not the only one. It's really weird because obviously they're nothing alike. Yeah, a lot of people are like, Widows. So, maybe Widows?
I'll go Fantastic Beasts, Dr. Seuss, Bohemian Rhapsody, Widows, Overlord, Instant Family.
Oh.
Whoa. Really?
I don't think, who cares about Instant Family?
I do, I'm so freaking pumped.
Come on.
It's the feel-good movie of the year. Everyone knows this.
Nobody cares about that.
I'm excited for it. I've seen a lot of promotions for that. Okay, I go with... Crap, what was the first one? Oh, Fantastic Beasts, The Grinch, Widows, Bohemian Rhapsody, Instant Family.
Hmm, okay. Bye-bye, Overlord.
Yeah.
Later days.
Yep.
All right, got it.
Yep.
All right, Neil?
Well, we're going to do Fantastic Beasts. Let's just start off tried and true with that one. Number two is what I'm struggling with, but I think I'm going to say Instant Family just to spite Frank a little bit.
Oof, all right. Okay.
I think if the Grinch does a good fall at 50%, then I think Instant Family could make like 35, maybe beat it out. Let's see.
All right.
And then probably the Grinch, Widows, Bohemian.
Okay, intriguing.
Interesting.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to do our box office bet for the film that you in the chat room have decided that we will place our wagers on to determine who is going to have to go see this film. As always, all of us will bet, and whoever's closest to the actual total will be the prognosticator. Prognosticators, the loser, will have to see the film. Tell us all about it.
Mm. Okay, so Ken Jack says, okay, so it's Widows 5. Wins with five votes, really?
All right.
Okay. All right.
Did Widows.
Fair enough.
All right. Oh, boy.
I voted for Widows in the chat.
Neil, you can't.
What?
That's, we what have to just. Blast
me.
Yep, looks like we have to disqualify so that.
Need a recount.
Yep, that's it.
Need a recount.
Everything's disqualified. All right. Mm. So.
Need another recount.
It's close enough for an automatic recount. I think we should do one.
All right, 3,000 screens. You've got Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell, Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez. And a few more in there as well. Directed by Steve McQueen.
Ooh, okay. Guys, chime away with your numbers, all right. Please. Oh, dang it. I'm not ready.
Got it.
All right. I'm going to try. We'll see what happens with this
baby.
Wait,
who's writing them all down?
I'm writing them down, okay. Anthony, because your fingers are too delicate, and I want you to save them for more important things.
I'm too busy.
Oh, all right. Okay. Neil, are you ready, sir?
Oh, I got it, yeah.
All right, fantastic. So, as always, we'll go with tradition. Anthony, you're in the booth. What you got?
I'm going in with a cool 32 mil.
Ooh, 32. All right. Neil.
Well, I went lower than that. 14.2.
Oh, 14.2. All right. Amy?
Oh, hey, phone. Oh, hello. Hello.
25. Oh, 25.
What is that?
Look at that. There you go. I did 25 as well.
Twinsies. Okay. Look at that. Great.
Yes. Oh, boy. All right. So Amy and I both at 25. So looks like it's going to be Neil and Anthony. What a exciting competition this is going to be.
I guess I'll watch it.
Anthony, already throwing in the towel? What is this?
It looks like a good movie. I have no problems with potentially seeing this because I know I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, should be interesting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. But before we do anything else, big round of applause for the super handsome, super talented, super great Neil Plumley.
Get out of town, won't you?
There you go. Hopefully this is not the last of his many appearances. We're going to keep pulling him back as often as we can.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, thanks, Neil. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and give it a thumbs up while you're there, or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many you can get. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you're watching this after we stream live, Amy, what can they do?
You guys can comment down below and let us know if you're going to watch Widows.
There you go.
Or what you're going to watch.
Just anything.
Anything.
Anything. I'm going to watch the dogs play outside my window.
That's beautiful. Oh, wow. That's yeah, right. I like that.
But if you want to stay in touch with any of us after the show is over, Anthony, where can they find you, sir?
Oh, here I am. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_, and I'll plug Horror Movie News on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will be talking Overlord along with some news items, so... yeah, if you like horror, come hit us up and chill with us.
Yeah, he's still so excited about...
hit us up.
Yeah, hit us up about Overlord. I love it. I love it.
Tahoe trip. I'm tired.
Oh, no. Neil, how about yourself?
You can find me at everywhere where you can find people at the Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. Nice to see you, folks.
I missed that so much.
Amy?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Nailed it, nailed it, nailed it. You nailed it, you nailed it.
I don't have to move forward with my life.
What? And follow me on Twitter and Instagram, folks, at HappyGoJackie. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We will be back here next Sunday night with an all-new episode right here on Popcorn Talk. Until then, go see some movies. We love you, Neil!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.